Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave. Oh, it's just so nice to be back on at the regularly scheduled time. For 2 weeks there, I didn't know if I was coming or going. But let me tell you something. I don't know where it is or how it is where you is. In Baltimore, Maryland, at this moment, we have one of the most perfect weather days we have ever had. The clouds are perfect. The sky is blue. There's a wind. It's about 78 degrees. People are walking the streets going, oh my gosh. And you feel like saying, I'll have what she's having. So on that note, we're going to give you somebody that you want to have. I see our chat room is filling up quickly already. It is so cool to be able to give you this man, because if you remember, if you listen live or in the archives, you know how Greg Adams talked about Daryl Walker up one wall and down the other. I told Daryl, I don't know whether he thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread or since ice cream, but he does think the world of you. This is an amazing man with an amazing background, and I am anxious to find out his journey. He has been a wonderful singer for commercials that you have known and loved through the past several years. Bilingual, don't you know? One of the coolest singers with so much soul, it is almost law-defying. I'm talking about Daryl Walker. Daryl, welcome.
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
I'm just peachy. We talked before the live thing here, and I'm just on a natural high because of a couple of wonderful things that happened this morning. But I'm really excited that you are here, because your friend Beej has filled me in on a couple of things that make you all that more fascinating.
Beej is great.
Isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's a very rare individual.
Oh.
You won't find many people like her on Earth. She's great.
That is very true. I have never met BJ in the flesh, but let me tell you, she is one of those people, and you know this is true. When you think of the word friend, she will come to mind forever after, because she's really a loyalist, isn't she?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
She's what I call an old school friend, which means the kind of person who knows what the word friendship really is all about.
Ah, see, there you go. I knew that, but you really confirmed that. So here's the interesting part about you. I mean, here you are working with Greg Adams and East Bay Soul, and then you've got some other endeavors that you're doing. I know you're a pretty busy guy. But you weren't always in this mode. You really made a conscious life choice. Tell me about that. I love this.
let's start from the beginning. As I entered into this thing called a musical career 20 years ago, I was also... I was doing what the typical working the job and doing music on the side kind of thing to make a living.
Right.
And it turned out that the little jobs I was doing just weren't cutting it. So I got real serious and got a teaching credential and studied employee development and curriculum and instructional design and went ahead and got into aerospace, which is, by the way, how I met BJ.
Yes.
She wound up working in our department. She was one of several people that we interviewed that she was the only one that we wanted to hire. And, of course, this job that we were hiring her for was beneath her skill level and all that. But, you know, it was work, so she took it. And that's how we became friends. But as I was saying, I was doing this for about 20 years, doing music, and I was getting about 4 hours of sleep a night and just completely dedicated to the music thing in terms of being serious about it and really wanting to do it. But on the other hand, I had this career that I had built and was involved with for 20 years. Now, how I managed to stay with that for 20 years and do well and only, you know, get limited amount of sleep and all is, I just don't know how I did that. But
that is amazing,
but,
really.
The hardest part about it was two failed marriages.
Oh, Daryl, I'm so sorry. Oh, God.
But you know, you live and you learn, and you just take your responsibility for the part you played, and it's just, I'm that dedicated to it. That's, I do music because I love it. I don't care about fame, and now everyone wants to get paid. You know, we're not stupid or foolish, but
right.
At the same time, to me, it's always about the music. It really is. Greg will tell you that. That's my philosophy. That's how I live when it comes to this music thing. Because if it were about anything else, I wouldn't have lasted 30-plus years. I couldn't have.
Exactly. And you know what? Since you've mentioned it, it really does need to be put out there. And I've really never done this, but you and many other men go through this so much. The fact of the matter is that you clearly have a gift. And, you know, it's so important to be involved in a relationship or a marriage or a partnership where the other person grasps that notion of how that gift has to be shared. And sometimes there's going to be obsession about that gift, and sometimes there's going to be intervals where you're not there. And it makes things so much worse when the partner demands that you're there and doesn't understand the gift. I just had to say that.
No, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's exactly what the issue was in both situations. The first one, you know, I don't want to turn this into a psychological thing.
I understand.
A lot of musicians go through this because, like you said, the not understanding a gift thing is just rampant. I mean, I could tell you there's so many friends I have in this industry that have gone through this, that are going through this at the current time. You just, it's tough because, you know, a lot of times you meet the people that you wind up with at some of these situations, these venues that you play, or these chance meetings with other people, and it develops into a relationship, and it's all fine and good until the demands start coming for your talent, and then, you know, people want to change you into this other thing that you aren't.
Right.
And it's just, it's pretty sad, you know. And I was just, whenever I think about this subject and this discussion we're having, the one who comes to mind is Quincy Jones, because he went through this time and again, and it was always so difficult and took such a toll on him. But on the other side of that, look at his body of work, and you'll see how dedicated he was to it. Now, he used the pain and the lessons learned to express through his compositions and his arrangements.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, look, this has been a subject a lot through the years. And I have seen great men crumble because they, you know, you don't necessarily have the blueprint or the armor to be able to juggle all these balls in the air. But meanwhile, men need to have that. It's not only a gift, a talent, but it's also work. If they are denied that work and forced to be put into a cubbyhole that confines them, nobody is making the situation better by being angry about it.
No, and like you said, it's more from a lack of understanding than anything, because from the lack of understanding comes the jealousy and the conflict and the, well, you know, these people, these girls are talking to you and blah, blah, blah. You know, it becomes this real immature discussion at some point, and you just have to say, look, this is what this is. The strength of our relationship ought to give you the peace of mind that nothing weird is happening and that your best interests are at heart, but you're going to have to support me and be my partner through all this stuff, because this is just what it is.
Yep.
And, you know, I have seen rarely, you know, two people who can make that happen. So a lot of times, you know, musicians, men and women, they just wind up being alone to a degree, while they go through this journey of taking this music thing on full time, because it is all consuming sometimes. It really is.
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead. You finish.
But if you're doing it for the right reasons, it doesn't matter what people say or do, because your dedication to it and what you get from it by being true to it, that cancels out all the bad stuff.
Oh, yeah. And look, I really feel it's a responsibility. When you know that you have something that has the ability to heal people, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a holistic practitioner, or whether you're a musician, if you don't do that, you are shirking your responsibility from God and the universe. So
Exactly. And I tell people all the time, I walk around, you know, and I get these questions about all this. And I just tell them, I say, well, you know, if you look at some of these artists that are out now, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are a number of them who don't get it. They don't understand that responsibility. They don't understand what they should be doing. They're not good role models. They don't understand that with this talent thing and all of the gifts that go with it comes huge responsibility to be an ambassador for your art form. Very few people are ambassadors for their art form. And by that I mean they're not out there doing and saying things that bring the art form into a positive light and promote it in a way that makes people want to say, wow, what is this all about? I need to look at that. That looks interesting. You know, instead, you see all this negativity and the greed and the whatever you want. All that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just sad because I'm seeing all the greats are dropping off, you know, and there's no backfilling going on that I know of. I mean, I'm sure out there there's a number of people coming out of the college and the university realm who are going to take up these roles as arrangers and what have you. But it's getting harder and harder to find that kind of talent because of the school districts cutting all of the music programs. Everyone, it seems, in that arena is trying to make everyone into a doctor, scientist, or a lawyer. And it seems like the arts programs are suffering tremendously. Yeah. It's pretty sad. But again, I always advocate go out there and be a positive role model. Go out there and be an advocate. Be that person that everyone looks to and say, wow, this person really, really loves what he does, and he believes in it, and he does it because he loves it.
Oh, and you have probably inspired so many. And here's why, Daryl, that's why I wanted to ask you about your background. And boy, I didn't even think that this was going to come. Hold on just a second. Let me get rid of that. the cell phone is right next to me, and it usually is not. Here's the deal. You spent so much time doing what was necessary in order to prepare the way for you to get to where you are now. You paid so many dues. I have been thinking about you knowing that this interview was going to come to pass. I was thinking about you and doing that day job and then working at night and then being exhausted and laying in your bed sometimes thinking, you know what, I really know that I need to stay in this job because I can't step out yet, but I want to get to the point where I can step out. You did some hard work to get where you are, and you're in a position where you're a go-to guy now. So you have the right to get a little frustrated with people who are cavalier.
Exactly. That's a perfect word for that, because that's what I see a lot of times. It makes me angry. Greg and I and Andrea and I all talk about this very subject, you know. And it's one of the reasons why this band, East Bay Soul, is so much more a family than it is a group of musicians that got together to do a show. It's really intrinsic in everything we do. For instance, we'll get together and have dinner just because we want to spend time together.
Oh, wow.
You know, at someone's house or at a restaurant before a show, after a show, you know, the day before a show, whatever it takes. At a rehearsal, you know, Andrea is amazing. She'll know I'm coming from Del Mar in San Diego County, out to the Valley in L.A. to do a rehearsal, and she will have, and just like the other guys drive too, you know, they, like Michael Paulo, for instance, comes from the Temecula Valley. He's driving out to do a rehearsal. She'll have, you know, fresh sandwiches made, you know, and if she can't make, she doesn't have time, she'll go and get them and bring them so that by the time we're midway through the rehearsal, we have refreshments and food to eat. And it's just, it's a really good situation. And everyone feels that, everyone that's involved. And what you see from the studio product as well as on stage when we're doing live performances is you see the culmination of all of that, that treatment and the way that everyone reveres one another and the respect for the music, that wins over everything. I mean, you see, if you haven't seen this live, you will see this incredible passion for what we're doing, not just as individuals, but as a collective. And it comes out with this power that just sometimes it's a little overwhelming for me being the one that's singing the songs because I hear behind me this wall, this massive wall of sound. And then I think of, okay, that's it. But what are the components? Who's making this happen? And then I look around and I see Michael Paulo, Lee Thornburg or Sean Billings or whoever else is on trumpet. I see Greg. I see Smitty Smith, you know, Dwayne Smitty Smith, the bass player. I see Herman Matthews, the drummer. I see James Wierick, the guitar player. I see Joey Navarro, the keyboard guy. I see over on stage left, I see Johnny Bamont on baritone sax and alto and tenor. I see Johnny Sandoval on percussion. I mean, I look around and I'm completely blown away by the level of talent and the pedigree of all the people that are in this band.
Wow.
And it just propels me. It's like this cloud that I ride on when I'm singing. It's just amazing. It brings things out of me that, I mean, I'm going to do my best no matter who I'm with. But with this band, it allows me to take it to another level without thinking about it. It just flows.
And you know what you're describing? You're describing, actually, a brotherhood.
Exactly. It is. It truly is.
Man, that is a natural high. Look at you. You get so excited talking about it. It's so wonderful to know that you have found, and the rest of the guys, too. And Greg is just bubbling over with what he feels about the group. There's no doubt. I mean, anybody who goes back to the archives and listens to that interview. But to have found a niche where you belong with one another and you're creating, actually, here's what you're creating, Daryl. You have these people who are true funk soldiers. That's what Beige and Linda Busy call what the fans are who go to all of these concerts, true funk soldiers.
That's what we call them.
Man, and here's somebody on the phone. I have a feeling I know who this is. Let me just go and find out who this is. Hello, 562. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. This is Carolyn. Tell Daryl this is his other mother.
Good morning, dear. How are you?
Good morning, sweetheart. I'm listening to your wonderful voice, and I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you so much.
I am a 71-year-old true funk soldier.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
That is awesome. I love to hear this.
I've known Daryl since he was very, very tiny.
Oh, my gosh. And you have followed him all this while.
Yes, he's like my other son. His mom and I were best friends.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Love you, Carolyn.
I love you too, dear, and I am very, very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
I know
Carolyn.
It's going to be a surprise. You're so welcome, and continue on with your beautiful words, and Mom loves you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're going to make me cry here.
No, don't cry.
Oh.
I can do enough of that for both of us.
That's cool, too. God bless
you,
Carolyn. We really appreciate
it. Bless you, too. Bless
you. All right. Bye-bye. See, look at that.
Oh, that woman and my mother are the two people who were the most instrumental and supportive in me getting to this point, because they always told me that, you know, don't listen to those kids. They don't know what they're saying. You keep doing what you're doing. You play that horn, you sing, you do it. You're gonna do this. This is what you want, so you do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do it or that you're not good at it. Or, you know, there used to be this one little bully that used to beat me up all the time because I would be carrying a saxophone case from school. It was uncool to have that in my hands. And I remember this just like it was yesterday. I came home. My mom was at work, so I went to Carolyn's house after school, and because she had kids that were the same age, and we were all close friends and all that. And she just sat me down, and I think I was 14 years old, and she just said, you know, you watch. These chumps that are messing with you now, they're not going to amount to anything. You just keep doing what you're doing, and just believe that you will get to the point where you will be enjoying yourself and having a successful career, because these people aren't going anywhere. She used to tell me stuff like that all the time, and she would encourage me, well, if you can't rehearse anywhere, you come here to my living room, you just turn that record player on, and you just sing your heart out, and you play that horn, you use my living room. She used to let me do that in her living room.
Oh, my God. That, you know what? That just says, you know, when people talk about this, and 2012 has really brought this to mind, because there's been so many people that we know in the entertainment business and personally that have passed. And, you know, I think about different people and what they remember right before they pass from this earth, and what is in your thoughts. And what you've just described is what you're going to be thinking of. You know, we all come into this world. We all have to die. What are the things that we think about when we, just before we go? That right there is what you're going to be thinking about. You're going to have all that come back to you.
Oh, I have so many wonderful memories. You know, Carolyn Spence, that's who that was, is one of those people who always, no matter what, this woman would feed the neighborhood. I mean, all the kids, if there were kids, she wanted to be involved. She wanted to try to support and encourage and look after all the kids that were in her immediate area. And she did. You know, if it weren't for her, a lot of kids in my neighborhood would have wound up being thugs and hoodlums, because they just, you know, there was free time and not anything going on. She was one of those people that challenged kids to do something constructive. And she was always so supportive of this music thing. She knew from those early years that this is what I wanted to do. And then my mom tells me, as far back as 2 years old, I was singing, you know, like my bio states, standing there in front of the television set singing Dock of the Bay. I don't remember that, obviously, but she says, no, you – well, she said, I should say, I lost her in 2006, but – she said, you used to stand in front of the television while the Ed Sullivan Show was on, and you would sing songs from whatever artist was on television. You knew all the words. I said, what? She goes, yeah, you even used to sing that song, Alfie. She goes, you used to sing, what's it all about?
You did not.
Yeah, at age two, she says, I was singing that song, and it just blew me away. I said, you have got to be kidding. You're just saying that. No, I'm serious. She said, I called your grandmother, because I couldn't believe it myself. And then I wondered how you knew that. And she said, it dawned on me that I would be around the house cleaning and what have you, and the radio would be on, and you would be in your playpen, and the radio would be going, and you would just start singing along with the radio.
See? Oh, gosh. Who can predict something like that? That's crazy.
No, it's unreal. It's unreal. And, you know, this whole thing was something I took for granted as a child. I thought everyone could sing. I thought everyone had an affinity for music and what have you, and the desire to do it. And I found out as I grew up, that's not true. That is true at all.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
So I take it very seriously. I treat it like the gift that it is. I have a lot of respect for it. And I try to make that obvious through performances and how seriously I take what I do. And the payoff for me is when I start to sing and I see the reaction that I get from people, and it tells me, okay, there's a connection going on and someone is benefiting from this, not just me. I feel an exchange, and it's wonderful when the song is over and people get up. You know, the standing ovation thing is the thing that kills me, because what inspires someone to stand up and applaud, that you can't manufacture that.
That's right.
It's either going to happen or it's not. So the way I look at it is, if that happens, it's beyond I'm doing my job. It is like, it's exalting. It really is. It's a wonderful experience. But it tells me that I'm right on target with what I'm supposed to be doing through the touching the people and through sharing the gift and through interpreting a song the way I like to do, whether it's a cover song or whether it's a original composition. And with me, the two are mutually exclusive. And I say that because there are a lot of artists who look down on doing cover music, but my philosophy about music is, if you're going to sing something or play something, own it.
That's right.
Take it.
That's right.
Make it your own, whether it's a cover song or whether it's an original thing. You have to interpret it, and you have to pay homage to the original by not cluttering it up and doing all the vocal gymnastics that seem to be popular these days. But leave space so that the song can be interpreted and that people can really get into it.
Well, it's funny that you should mention just what you did, because what do I have here to play but your interpretation of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On? So I think that I should play that.
That sounds great. And notice this arrangement. Greg completely blew me out of the water with this arrangement. I was so happy when I heard it.
Listen, let me tell you something. You are preaching to the choir, because I got turned on to East Bay Soul, and I thought, and one after the other track, I went, what? the way this is done is just a whole new feel, a whole new vibe. And this is from East Bay Soul 2.0. This is Daryl Walker, let me tell you something, with Greg Adams and the rest of the brotherhood, I should say, in the band. What's Going on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Mother, there are too many of you crying. Brother, 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 far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in. Father, we don't need to escalate. No, no. You see, war is not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some understanding here today. Pick a line. Don't punish me,
listen,
with brutality.
Listen,
come talk to me, so you can see. Simply
Joke. You know, we were doing the schedule for 2 weeks at different times, and it's not because of the time change. It's because you're here. Daryl Walker with East Bay Soul. Oh, my God. Look, you know what? You are just, it's really kind of an unnatural feeling to hear you the first time because, you know, I'll have a big birthday this year. Honey, I remember when those great cats were doing their thing, when Otis was alive. I remember when Otis was alive. I remember when Sam Cooke was alive. When Marvin was... Yes. And you are such a throwback to that greatness. And I know that Greg knows that, too.
Thank you so much. You know, this whole experience, it's been about 3 years now, it's been an incredible ride because we're talking about working with people who I've always admired, you know, as individuals, and then here they are in this one group, and there I am contributing to the overall picture as well. And it's just a great feeling to know that you know, you've done what you need to do to get to the point of being able to make a contribution like that with a cast like this one. It's very satisfying. And it gives you the bedrock to know, okay, we can go from here and do even greater things. You know, the performances on that effort, that East Bay Soul 2.0 recording, I'm blown away by it all because I know how great these people are individually, but to hear Greg pull all this stuff out of each one of them,
yes.
He had to, as the arranger and writer, co-writer and all that, you have to, it's like being a coach of a team. You have to know the strengths of all your people and then devise a plan that will best bring out all the talents of those individuals in a collective way to reach the end, you know, to get to the goal,
yes,
the end state. And he does that with a level of mastery that I've never seen. And it's just, I don't know, it's amazing to witness while it's happening. And then after the fact, when we're out there doing the shows, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, because that's not a given. I mean, he's certainly an amazing trumpet player. And then to have the expertise to have the talent for direction as well, and to know what's going to sound good from all those years of making those arrangements. You know, I thought about both of you. I thought about you and Greg when the jazz festival was happening at Cap Jazz a few weeks ago, and Tower of Power was playing, and I thought, this is so awesome, because I think of modern day Tower of Power now as East Bay Soul.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people have been saying that, and Greg wants to get away from that people comparing too much of that. But you really, it's hard to, because when you look at the makeup of the band, there's five horns, including me.
Yep.
And the, just a wall of sound, and his talent and his signature on everything, it's gonna bring that to mind because of what it is. But in saying that, I'll also say that it is a world apart from that, because the way that he's doing things now and the way that we're all, you know, performing, and he makes it a democracy and everyone has the ability to give input, it takes it beyond. It's a pleasure. That's all I can say. It's a pleasure to be involved.
Well, you know what? Here's the way I meant it. When knowing that back in the early to mid-70s, when Tower of Power first arrived on the scene, there was a particular energy that people felt when they saw the group. Now,
oh, sure.
Now I feel, and I speak for hundreds of people, they feel that kind of revived, renewed, fresh feeling from East Bay Soul.
And I think it's because everyone involved is so excited to be together.
Yep.
And so excited about the project and, you know, the results we're getting, the reviews that come in. Everyone's just excited about the thing in general, and we're out there just naturally showing that excitement through what we're doing.
And actually, you do more than that, and I want to delve into something right here, but somebody's been holding for a while, and I want to check to see who this person is. Usually this is not the case where we get the phone calls, but people really want to speak to you, Daryl.
That's great.
Here we are, and this is a 210 exchange. Hello?
Hey, Trish. This is Griselda.
Griselda, there she is, Daryl.
Hello.
Hi, Daryl. Nice to finally get to meet you via Blog Talk Radio. And
great?
I'm one of the newest funk soldiers, by the way.
Well, we welcome all. Okay, so tell a friend and another friend and another friend.
That's right. Oh, Griselda will. Don't worry about it. Listen, when she speaks on her page, she makes people listen to her, Daryl, on Facebook.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Wow, Trish, you're giving me more power than I actually have.
Oh, no, look, you. I can just see you through from here, Maryland to Texas. I can just see you putting your hands around people's shoulders and going, okay, now look, I've got somebody here you've got to listen to. Look on it.
That is funny.
She is a trip. She is on this show, Daryl, all the time. And believe me, it's been back and forth for weeks and weeks about how excited people in the chat room were about you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We really, really, really enjoy doing what we do. And it's such a pleasure to be involved with such a stellar group of people. And, you know, coming from where I was 3 years ago, you know, building aircraft and weapons and what have you. I'm glad to be doing what I was. This is my purpose. I was put on earth to do this, and I'm glad that I've been given the opportunity to actually live that dream, because so many people don't have that opportunity to do thing that they love.
That's right. Yeah.
I was hell bent to do it. Okay.
I'm
going to have an answer to that.
Go ahead.
How much, when you worked with Reese McGinn, how much time did you were you with him, working with him?
Well, I was working with his pre-production team, his actual core band members. He's a busy guy. He can't be in those places until it's
right.
time for him to actually record something. Been to several of the shows, but these guys that I'm talking about, and we'll get into them later when Trish opens up and starts asking more about the other things I do. What happens is when Luis Miguel is about to do a new album, he enlists the services of his writing team, which are people outside of his band, as well as within his band, because he has incredible talented people in his band, and I've been dear friends with the musical director, Francisco Loyal, the second keyboardist, Salo Loyal, who is Francisco's younger brother, Lalo Carrillo, which is probably one of the world's best six-string bass players that I've ever heard, ever.
Oh, my.
Ever. Mm. He's like Chaco Pastoria and Rod Carter and... I mean, the list is a long one. He plays an incredible instrument. Then of course, there's Victor Loyal, the drummer, a masterful drummer, very tasteful, you know. These guys, we all get together, and they pitch to me these ideas. Oh, look, we have this song we want you to do, and we want you to sing it in Spanish, and then we're going to try to pitch it to Luis Miguel because he's looking for new material, and we think that you could really pull it off. And I said, okay, well, let me hear it. So we get together, and then I said, okay, I got you. So we'll record it, and I sing it in his key, in his style, and in Spanish. And so far, we have recorded, let's see, one.
A few.
Let's see. Misterios del Amor is one. Vuelve is another one, and those are on Luis Miguel's Greatest Hits and the other album, 33. So
wow.
I did those before he ever heard them, and then he heard them, and I can't say what he said verbatim, but he said, "Who is that guy?"
Oh, my goodness.
He wanted to know who I was because he hadn't met me.
And if you're talking about Luis Miguel, oh, my God. I mean, you know, this is a guy, people don't necessarily understand it. You know, you folks don't necessarily know that name. This man has sold beaucoup millions of records internationally.
When he was as a kid. Yeah.
You know, the way that I get people to understand about him is because I talk to people about him that are not necessarily from the Latino community, and
right.
I tell them, well, just think of him as being someone who has Michael Jackson level celebrity.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's the best way to describe that, because he lives in a completely different universe than most people. He's just, his world is completely different. But that he recognized what I did and wanted to record those songs is just that's another wonderful pat on the back, and I really appreciated that because we worked hard on those, and it was nice to know that they came across the way they needed to inspire him to record them.
Well,
you know,
here's why, Daryl, honestly, because I really appreciate Luis and his talent, but what probably struck him is that besides the fact that you made it a point to sing in his key and you're bilingual, and that, oh my God, that helps tremendously. You have a different sort of feel when you sing something in Spanish. But the level of soul that you bring to a recording probably was the thing that nailed it for him, because when you are in that particular world that Luis is in, you know, you take certain things for granted. And if you are part of the community, you're used to singing with a level of soul, but you don't necessarily hear it in people who aren't in the community. When he heard it from you, it probably stopped him in his tracks.
Oh, it's funny. And the story they told me, because I wasn't able to be there the day that they tracked it, they said, "Now you should have seen it. It is just amazing." He goes, "Who is that guy? Play that again. Who's that? Who's that? Oh my God! Canto cabrón, dude."
That's
funny.
I'm glad that it did what it did and that those songs wound up being recorded because, you know, first of all, his career, he's someone I look up to because he is, like I have been saying to Trish, he's one of those people that he does this because he loves it, you know, and you can see that in all his performances. He goes out there and gives 150% each time. And if you look at his schedule, it's amazing. He'll do back-to-back-to-back shows, and then he'll take a little break, then back-to-back-to-back shows. It's like, how does he do that time and again? It's because he loves it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is a workhorse, for sure.
He can fill any arena anywhere he goes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Night after night after night.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you have a wonderful connection in that regard, and I hope that continues. And Griselda, thank you, sugar, for calling.
You're welcome. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you for that question. That was a great opportunity to expound on that piece of my life. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Well, you're welcome, Daryl. Can't
God
wait.
Bless
Hopefully
you
guys will be able to make it to Texas one of these days, very soon.
If you keep raising hell, we'll be there. Soldiers.
Yeah, man, we need to get them a paycheck or something.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Griselda, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. And here's something else. You know, we're delving into other things that you do besides East Bay Soul, and there's been quite a few things. I love the fact that you have... Do you make a regular living doing the jingles, Daryl? Because I love this part of you.
No, you know, that was a period of time right after my Motown years were over. I did the producer that was doing all the stuff for the group I was in at the time, which was known as Identity Crisis. That was the name of the band. There's a band with that same name today that is not the same group, but. The Identity Crisis of the 90s. Wow, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
Just to quickly touch on that group, that was a group of musicians which, oddly enough, had the keyboard player from Luis Miguel's band, Salo Loyo. He was our keyboardist at that time. That was a group that was doing R&B in Spanish and English in the same song. We would flip the lyrics into Spanish and then back to English. It was something that was being done. I don't know if there were many people doing it, but we were doing it because we wanted to reach the Latino market because we knew that there was a big pull for our style of music. And before we could really get going, you know, the typical story that you hear from a lot of musicians, well, they dropped the project and didn't get behind it and whatever, for whatever reason, I don't even know. I would only be speculating as to why that happened, but that band, that was an amazing group, and I got a lot out of that, and I forgot the point at this point, but
the jingles, actually.
So, thank you for reeling me back in. that the jingles were a product of that affiliation with the producers from that project.
Right.
I became friends with those guys, and I still am to this day, and I work with one of them in a different project. His name is Christopher Troy, and the other was Zach Harmon, who is a crazy blues artist that's just doing very well on his own, doing a solo thing right now. But they developed me into a person who could do jingles because the jingles were not my thing back then. I really, you know, it's a very difficult nut to crack to get into that.
Yeah.
Because it's a very small community, very close to the vest of those that are doing it. And getting into it is not very easy. But we did those few, and I would love to continue doing more of those. But, you know, again, it's just a small community. It's hard to get in there. And a lot of that work has dried up because of the economy and things are different in the industry now. So I don't know. It's something that I might revisit later on, but I'm not. I don't feel too inspired to try to become a jingle singer.
Well, I completely understand because your hands are busy doing other things. But you had some major folks there for a while, Dole and Pringles and Toyota and Honey Nut Cheerios. I love it. So if any of those folks hear you via this show or archives or get to know you via East Bay Soul, I can see you more than a lot of other people will never have to worry about work again in your life. You feel that too, don't you?
I do from time to time. But, you know, every now and then you become a little doubtful because you have to do things sometimes when your schedule slows down a little bit. You have to take on things that you really don't want to do, but then you just do them because you have to. But I'm more selective about the jobs I do now, and I didn't have that luxury in the past, so I don't take that for granted, and I'm very grateful for the ability to do that.
Yeah.
But you're right. As long as I'm doing this for the reasons that I am, I feel that I won't have to worry about that.
Well, there's a couple of more things I want to ask. I'm curious about the off-Broadway production of Here and Now, The Legacy of Luther Vandross, and I'm interested about Halt Chile.
Oh, Halt Chile. Well, the off-Broadway thing, that's Terry Steele is an incredible artist and singer who wrote the hit for Luther Vandross, Here and Now.
Yeah. Oh!
And Terry has been for the last few years now, about four that I know of, doing this tribute to Luther Vandross. And it's a show that's pretty much staged in the way that Luther Vandross would have staged a live show. And he uses, Terry uses a bevy of different vocalists to help him carry this out. And it's just, it's amazing. Because the people that I've sung with are just the top. I mean, they're like the top call LA studio session singers and people that do, you know, the backup live artists as well. But they're also artists in their own right. In this thing, he's put together a great show. He hasn't been doing it for the last few. I think it's dark right now, but when he gets it back on the road, he does well with it, and he just essentially sings songs that Luther Vandross made popular, and he does it with a flair that just it commands his attention. It really does. It's great, and it's a privilege to have been chosen to help with that. That's all I can say is it's a great thing he's doing. It's great.
And you know what makes you so bloody adorable, Daryl, is that you have alluded to this a few times now about the caliber of talent in East Bay Soul and about, you know, this production as a tribute to Luther and talking about the people involved and how they're, in other words, this part of this A-team. Well, guess what, baby? You the A-team now. You are the pinnacle of what somebody can achieve. I'm going to play this other song, and we'll play a third song, but I wanted to play The Love of My Life to show that other, oh, God, anything that you touched on East Bay Soul has been wonderful. But
thank you so much.
Oh, you know that I mean it, because when you can conjure up in somebody like me, and speaking again for many, many more, when you can conjure up some memories of what has happened in a different time, at a different place, different year, that's pretty much of a genius, Mark, and you do that all the time.
See, that is the thing that's the blessing of it. When you do what you're supposed to do and not thinking about it, just doing it, letting it flow naturally and just letting it go out, that's what happens, and that is the payoff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be hearing that a lot. And folks will be hearing ear candy right now because this is from East Bay Soul 2.0, The Love of My Life, Daryl Walker, on lead vocals here. Check this out.
I still can remember just how it began. friend introduced us, and I took her hand. Then something went through us, and she felt it too. Someone said something, but no words came through. Against us, our two separate hearts, we burned in the evening, and then we would part. Her voice would come to me, and soon I would know.
In here now, Daryl. Amazing. Daryl Walker, Love, the Love of My Life from East Bay Soul 2.0. Daryl, are you there? Oh my gosh.
I am right there. Thank you so much.
I thought maybe, because this has happened before on the show, the cell phone sometimes dies. I'm doing an interview with somebody?
Oh, no. Okay, I'm using my iPad, too. I have a handset plugged into it.
Oh, my gosh, listen to you.
It's like old school. I'm using something called Line 2, and I have a phone call that's going. It can do cell calls, but it also does Wi-Fi. So there's no call dropping going on here.
That is awesome. I'll tell you what, this is one of the funnier things. I had an interview with Matt Cousin some months ago, and Matt is got a little bit of a spirit like you. He's just he effervesces sometimes. And he was multitasking while he was doing the interview. He was actually outside, and he said, look, I got to call you back like within 10 minutes or so because I got to recharge this.
Oh, that's
And it was fine because We played a couple of songs, and it was good. So I never know, and it doesn't make any difference because I'm always usually set for the next situation, whatever that is to develop. Let me say that say this about your vocal. That vocal is the mark of somebody who has been singing all his life, because you can't learn what you just did on that song. Even as a teenager, you've had to be singing all your life. And this is the difference, because this is a subject for conversation a lot. Without mentioning any names, there are some people in the pop world that I can't stand to hear. Some people think of them as gold. I just think, as you said earlier, they just have perfected vocal acrobatics. It's not singing. It's acrobatics.
No, because the act of singing requires you to listen as much as you emote or express.
Yeah.
You have to allow space for the song to come through. You see, that's the difference. When you're really singing, A, you're singing on pitch, and you're delivering a nice quality of tone, and you're interpreting a song. You're not, you know, it's like playing too many notes when you're playing an instrument. No one wants to hear you go on and on and on and on. They want to hear a melody. They want to be able to identify with it and associate with it. And if you're obscuring it, they're not going to be able to do that.
And that's what you do. There is an elongation of notes that you do, and it comes from deep. I mean, you've learned how to breathe. Consequently, that note comes out, and you would be trying to catch it, but it's like trying to catch the wind. And then you reel that note back, and it's so beautiful. It's like oral poetry. That's what you do.
Thank you. You know what it is? For me, it's more of just I really, really don't take singing for granted like I used to when I was a child, because I thought everybody could do it. But for me, it's really a spiritual experience. When I start singing, I go within a lot of times, and it just feels so good that it just flows with this warmth and this, that I don't know, it's hard to describe. Coming from me, I would have to listen to someone else's description, but for me,
yeah.
It just feels like this spiritual thing that's happening when it's taking place, and that I don't want to get in the way of.
Well, honestly, whenever you do open your mouth to sing, it's like there is a part of God that comes out of you. You really have the ability to, you don't do it physically, but to be able to touch somebody and have them go, I feel free. I feel freer after having listened to Daryl Walker. That's what you do.
That's amazing. That does happen a lot. And I people approach me and say that. And then all I can tell them is, well, thank you. And I'm glad you were there listening and being open and allowing that to take place, because it's not just me doing what I do. It's a person seeking that kind of connection through music, because music can heal.
Mm-hmm.
Music can enliven a situation and create joy, and you know, just as much as it can make things sad and somber and what have you. But I really love when people are touched by it. The most incredible story with this subject in mind was East Bay Soul. We were at the Laguna Festival of the Arts here in California. And this woman approached me after our show, and she said, are you Daryl? I said, yes. She said, were you here last year? And I said, yes, we were here last year. And she said, well, I just wanted to tell you that you saved my marriage. And, okay, my jaw dropped. And I've told this story to other people, too. But it's just amazing, because it really does underscore what we're talking about, this connection that takes place. So I said to her, what do you mean I saved your marriage? She goes, yes, my husband and I were getting a divorce, and then when you sang that song, I just, we got back together after that, and I said, well, let's get a few things straight here. I said, first of all, and then while I was telling that, she asked me if she could hug me. I said, yes, you can hug me, and I'll hug you right back. And I did. But she was looking up at me with this look in her eyes, and I just could not believe the sincerity and the emotion in what she was telling me.
Aww.
And she said, you did. You really did. I said, no, I didn't. I said, you and your husband saved your marriage. I said, I'm glad to have been able to facilitate that process through this performance and the song. I said, but you took the feeling that you got, dropped your armor, and you and your husband got together and decided that it was better for you to work things out than to part. And I said, that is you, God, and your husband. I said, so I'm glad I was able to get that process started. I said, but I'm not responsible for it. It's not me. But thank you.
Now you understand what you are. Here you were, you worked for a company, and part of what you were doing is being in the position where there were weapons being made. And now, Daryl, you're a peace warrior.
So I have to say this. I did do more on the aircraft side than the weapon side. So I'm a plane guy by trade.
A plane guy. Yeah, well, I'm so glad that their loss is the music world's gain. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo!
The same one for me, because let me tell you, it was something I did without even thinking about it. There just was this point at which I had enough, and these opportunities were presenting themselves, and I thought, you know what, this is it. I'm done. I'm not happy. My health isn't good. And I need to reclaim my life. And that's what I said to my boss as he watched me pack my box and head out the door, because I gave no notice. I just,
wow.
There was this option. Boeing had this option, and I don't mind using their name, but Boeing had this option of self-termination, because I was assigned to a human resources department, and I was teaching the Air Force, the airlines, and our own indigenous workforce, everything from airframe construction to pneumatics and hydraulics and all that stuff. And I just said, you know, I think I'm done. So I went online and I self-terminated. And I sat there and I thought to myself, you're really doing this? You're going to give up this more than lucrative career? This is like, I can't even tell you the money I was making there. It was obscene, but it was earned. But I did this, and the very next day when I went in to get my things, my boss was there. And this was interesting to me, because he was a what we call an absentee manager. His actual office was physically located in Mesa, Arizona. So he had to fly on a moment's notice from Mesa, Arizona to Long Beach, California, and meet me there without me even knowing he was coming. I saw him there. Oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, how can we not get ready to go to Seattle? I said, because I'm going home. What do you mean, going home? I said, I'm leaving. That's it. The only trip I'm taking is the one that's headed toward my house. I don't understand. I said, it's time for me to reclaim my life. I am no longer the steward of my own life, and I need to reclaim that.
And you knew exactly the moment when that was going to happen.
That's right. That's right. And the rest
Beautiful.
Is history. And shortly after that happened, Greg and I started working together more and more. In fact, right around the time this was going on is when I recorded on the first CD, East Bay Soul, the self-titled East Bay Soul. And that was great, because I think Greg told you the story of how we got together and all that.
He talked quite a bit about you, and, you know, I thought for a second, hey, it's kind of turning into the Daryl Walker Show here on Greg Adams Time.
You know what? He's so generous, you know.
Yes.
He really appreciates everybody that's involved in this thing, because he knows that we all have other things going on and that we could be doing whatever we want. But you know what? He is an amazing human being. His wife is an amazing human being. She's hardworking. She works really hard to help him to move these things along. I mean, she wears just about every hat you could possibly wear.
Yes, she does.
I tell her, I mean, look, honey, you've got to get some help with this stuff. You can't do it all. You got to, you know. So we've been talking about that because we're concerned. She works so hard. But,
aww,
you know, again, her efforts and his efforts are really obvious when you listen to this record. And when you see that it was first single was number one for several weeks and then dropped to, I forget what level it dropped to, then it went back up to number one again. I mean, we have something here. And everyone believes in it, and everyone's excited about doing it. So, you know, it's just about getting the word out.
Oh, and look, Greg and I had a talk after he was on the show last time. And here's the bottom line with East Bay Soul. The fact of the matter is that Greg has been able, because of the fan base and the passion and the sheer artistry displayed by all of you in that band, the inroads, the cliques, the so-called, in quotes, in crowd has started to take notice. And now it's starting to change the regular rosters of the regular smooth jazz artists. Guess what? It's all changed in a little flavor. Do you see that, Daryl? Because we do.
I do.
Yep.
I do.
Yep. So, all of this means something, and you were, I kept you over time, but I'm going to leave you go momentarily. You are going to do so well, whether it's with East Bay Soul, because that's just a given. That is a cooking element, and that has come into a scenario where people are taking notice more than you might suspect. So as the year progresses, as you go into 2013, it's going to be a whole different ball game. And with other things that you're going to do, you will always do fine because you appreciate the journey to get here.
Oh, boy, do I. And, you know, I think that you can't really appreciate it until you've had to go through a number of things personally and professionally. Like you said, paying the dues and all that kind of stuff, you literally have to go through all these difficulties in order to get to where you're going and to appreciate it, because getting there, that's where you're paying your dues. And then once you arrive, it's important to be that ambassador that I was talking about earlier,
yep,
so that you can perpetuate this great thing you're doing and generate positivity.
And were you ever ready? I'll never forget, his name always escapes me. The guy who was the host, the really powerfully articulate host of Extreme Home Makeover, he freely admits that he had ADHD and he takes medication for it. He was trying to speak to a group of young people, and he has said this since then. He said, you have to be ready when the opportunity comes. You can't play around with this. You practice, you get ready, and then you stay in a state of readiness. And you were.
That's right. No, you do have to remain in a state of readiness. That's what musicians have to do. The best ones are always studying. They're always rehearsing. They're always practicing. And it's because, you know, no matter how good you become or how well you do, there's more to learn, because there is not a single facet of music that can be mastered. There isn't. It's a lifelong study and a lifelong practice. And anyone that thinks that just because they had some lessons and may have a degree that they've learned it all and that they know it all and they've done it all, they're sadly mistaken.
That's foolish. Yeah, you're always a student. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, and here's one more phone call. I don't know who this is. I'm just going to – we'll just see. 818 area code, hello.
Hello, Trish. It's Greg Adams.
Oh, hi, Greg. How are you?
Good, how you doing? I know you're right at the end, and I thought I'd just give a little shout-out and say hi. And I've been on the phone with somebody, like you were just saying, you got to be ready. When your number's up, I've been on the phone with the radio promoter because we have not seen each other for so long. So I've been on the phone for like almost an hour with him, so I've missed most of the show. But I'm sure Daryl did a great job.
Oh, my God. And you can hear it later in the archives, Greg. We talked about you with love over and over again.
Oh, very nice. Daryl is just a dream come true, like as far as singers go. He's not only a great singer, but he's a great team player, and he is a truly professional musician. And
thank you. Thank you so much.
I think I probably said this when you and I talked a couple of months ago. You know, singers can be the third sex, you know, and Daryl
oh, boy.
Daryl is truly a team player, you know. I mean, I've worked with some of the most diva-ish singers in the world, and you know, there's no diva with Daryl. He's the real deal, and he backs it up with more than enough talent. So, you know, I just wanted to say hey real quick. I know you guys are – I don't want to be an interrupter, so I just wanted to call in, say hi, and
oh.
I will listen to, I'll listen to the interview later when it comes up.
That's wonderful. That means a lot to Daryl. I know Daryl is going – he's just smiling, and he can't stop right now. So thank you, Greg.
You bet.
That's
I'll
right.
let you guys get back to your conversation, and I will talk to you soon, Daryl.
Okay. Hugs to you and Andrea.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, Trish.
Thank you so much, Greg. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I'm telling you, Daryl.
How about that?
How about it? And look, I'm just going to take one more. This is a 562 exchange. This doesn't usually happen, so we might as well milk it for all it's worth. Hello, 562.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Hello? Hello?
I'm telling you, Daryl.
562, you're on the phone.
Hi, this is BJ.
BJ!
Hey, my HBHB, how you doing?
Hey there, good morning to you.
I'm so glad you got on Trisha's show. People need to know about you. They need to know about the band.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, we need to make that happen more and more and more and develop more funk soldier legions.
Yes, we need all the true funk soldiers we can get.
And
that's
actually,
right.
You have a new name, Daryl, as of the past 24 hours, because Linda and Beach are the brides of Funkenstein. You are the Funkenstein bride's best man.
Great.
I thought you'd get a kick out of that one.
Beach, it's so nice to hear your voice because, you know, I love you to death and we've never met. When we meet, it's going to be so insane. And hopefully we'll meet under the circumstances where we see Daryl at the same time.
I hope so. Yes. Yes, that would be an ideal thing because you really need the EBS experience. And when these guys are on stage, and like Daryl mentioned these earlier, they're a family. And when they're on stage, you can tell they genuinely really like each other, and they're up there having a really good time.
Boy. And you know what? Beej, I don't know if you're going to be planning to go to this, but there's a couple of dates that are coming up. You want to talk about them, Daryl? Because Beej and Linda, I'm sure, are going to try to be there.
Oh, definitely. We're going to be appearing at Spaghettini Italian Grill and Jazz Club in Seal Beach, California on August 3rd and 4th.
Oh,
yep.
My God.
We got that one months ago. Yep, yep. Already got the tickets booked like the day after Greg announced it.
And you know what? We have to point out to folks on the other coast that it is going to be a wild end-of-year celebration on the 30th and 31st at Scullers in Boston, Massachusetts. So if you can get up there to see East Bay Soul, you will not recover until well into 2013.
That's right. It will be a great way for people back there to celebrate the new year, believe me.
Oh, my God. I hope we have a lot to celebrate. Hint, hint. I'm not going to say
a
word.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a wonderful place. The people there are so warm and so enthusiastic and crazy about music. They just, we went there, if I'm not mistaken, I know we sold it out. It was packed. It was beyond packed. And then at the end of the night, we left the stage, came back, did one encore, left, came back and did another, and then another. A total of, I don't know, over 120 minutes of performance time, it seemed like. It was something crazy.
Well, here is why, Daryl, and Beach, I know that you can attest to this. The fact of the matter is, the folks who were asking for the encores were the ladies, because you are a hot-looking band. I have to say it.
They will all gladly accept that. They won't accept that one.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so wild.
I don't want to take up any more time, but I just had to get a call in to my bestest bud ever.
Oh.
Thank you. Glad you called. That was awesome.
Yeah, oh, Beach.
You take care.
We love you.
And I'll see you. We will, Malibu Greg and I will see you in August.
Awesome.
All right.
Yay!
Take care. All right.
Bye, Beach.
Take care, Daryl. Bye, Trish.
Love ya. She is a trip. Oh, my God. See, you have to get used to these folks, Daryl, who really do love you to the wall and will talk about you in such extremes like that. It's really amazing. Now I am committed sometime this year to see East Bay Soul, just to get a taste of that.
Oh, well, I'll tell you one thing. It is something. Every time is so exciting and wonderful. I look forward to each performance because I get to be on stage with some really good friends and some incredibly talented people. It's just,
well,
it's a high that can't be described. It's just, you know.
Well, it's such a pleasure to be able to talk to you after hearing this love fest that has been in the chat room and on Facebook and in my ear when I talk to folks. So I know that it's just going to be a really joyful ride for you, and I'm looking forward to actually meeting you in person.
Likewise.
Awesome. Thank you for the extended time. Bless your heart.
Oh, no, you're welcome. Absolutely.
When a boss calls in to let you know how important you are to the whole project, that means everything, doesn't it?
It really does. And he says it with regularity. I mean, I have to give him so much credit for being the kind of person who appreciates, you know, the people that are contributing to this overall picture of this project. And it's because of who he is and who his wife is that everyone puts into it what they do. It really is. I mean, yes, we enjoy being together. Yes, we love everyone and we love the project and all that. But it's really about loving them and wanting to be part of this little family that we've all put together.
Well, the family is so because each one of you cares about the other. And maybe even more importantly than that, you care about your audience because people aren't stupid. They know that you either give a rat's tail or you don't. And
no, it's true. Yeah.
You project that there is a lot of love in your heart and you have earned that right to feel comfortable when they give you that love back. It's a beautiful thing.
This project, East Bay Soul 2.0, was completely funded by the fan base. So
yes.
Let me tell you, we are very in touch with that and have a high regard for it and will continue to respect that relationship and try to meet the expectations, you know.
Well, let me tell you something. There's a core of us that will continue to be pit bulls for the East Bay Soul cause. We have been vocal on the Rehoboth Beach Jazz Festival website. We have been vocal on the Berks Jazz Festival website.
Thank you so much. Oh yeah, we would love to continue and take on more shows and get that experience out there for people. It's something that's like this amazing experience we want to share with everybody.
Well, and for those that have seen it, it has been a blessing, and I will be one of those very, very soon. And I appreciate your time, and we'll continue to make sure that folks know about you. And any time that there is an event, I'm going to make sure that I post it on my Facebook page, because otherwise Linda and Beej will take me to task.
Oh, yes. I know BJ well, for sure.
She'll be asking questions. Okay, how come I'm not seeing that?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, bless your heart. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful evening, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners, and you have a great day, and enjoy that third song.
Oh, yeah, we're going to momentarily. Daryl Walker has been in the house, and we'll be hearing a lot from Daryl in the weeks and the months to come. Bless your heart, and I'll just bet you you're going to be hearing some good news. I have a feeling, Daryl, you're going to be hearing some more good news this week or next.
Outstanding.
Yep. So fill us in when you get it.
Indeed. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Daryl Walker, everybody, what a pleasure to hear the man who is responsible for giving us this amazing jolt every time he sings. Case in point, right here. From East Bay Soul 2.0, we've played What's Going On. We have played The Love of My Life. Had to close our time together with I'm Coming Home on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I'm coming home, and it's been way too long. All those days and the nights will be gone. To see and hold you was my dream every night, for that day to come back. Words alone can't say how I feel right now. I've counted the days since I left. To see and hold you was my dream every night. For that day to come home. I'm coming home, and it's been way too long. All those days and the nights will be gone. To see and hold you was my dream every night. For that day to come back. Thank you. coming home. Oh, how the kids have grown. Been so brave while daddy's been gone. And when they're fast asleep and the lights are low, the world stops a moment. So
couldn't you just eat that song up? Yes, yes, absolutely. That is the Lionel Richie song, and that is Love Will Find a Way. The late, great George Howard. Oh, my God, did we revere him in Philadelphia? Just so sad that he is not here anymore. Just one of those folks that passed and left us far too soon. One of the most beautiful faces you would ever see. And under the tutelage, to a large degree, of the wonderful, again, late, great Grover Washington Jr. They rocked Philly for a while, and then the world, that's for sure. Love Will Find a Way. Actually, you can find this from Dancing in the Sun, from George Howard's 1985 CD. He did a few of them, and it's just aloe for wounds, emotional wounds that you might have, to listen to George Howard play that saxophone. Beautiful stuff. Chris Bodie, You Are Not Alone, the R. Kelly song that Michael Jackson launched into the stratosphere, and of course had to play that from Chris's new album called Impressions, in honor of the, not a celebration for sure, but the anniversary of the passing of MJ yesterday. And of course, I would know this because one of the more difficult days in my life was 3 years ago, same hour as Michael Jackson, my mom passed away. So my son got a double whammy that day. And yesterday was a little tricky, a little tricky. But I know where both of them are, and someday I'm going to have somebody commissioned to do this. I really want somebody to do a stained glass artist rendering of my mom holding on to Michael, comforting him. I just have that image in my head all the time. And it's like they both give me little signs every once in a while. My mom, of course, more than Michael, but it's like Michael's letting me know that mom is okay. It's pretty cool stuff. Chris Bodie. Yes! Just so you know about the Impressions CD, by the way, in case you didn't know anything about it, Vince Gill is on this CD, yes. And also, Mark Knopfler does. What a wonderful world. This CD really has garnered some great press. And I'm looking at Chris Bodie's schedule, and I make fun of this all the time because he's nuts. He really doesn't have a home at all. He lives in a hotel room. Who puts together this itinerary? He goes from Canada to New York, back to Canada, to Las Vegas, to Colorado, Philly, New York, back to Colorado, Massachusetts, then California. I don't think that he really cares. As long as he's got a bag packed and he's got his trumpet in the case, it's cool. And we heard, too, from Daryl Walker, I'm coming home from East Bay Soul 2.0. What a wonderful thing to have Daryl with us. I can't say enough about his talent and his generosity and the insight that he gave quite a few of us today about work and appreciating what it is that you are given. Bless his heart. Got a few things to mention to you. First of all, the show is sponsored. Thank you very much. Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland. Ramsheadtavern.com has the full lineup, and Ram's Head is doing this particular occasion to make sure that you know that Ken Navarro will be at Ram's Head in Annapolis on July the 8th. And the last time I checked in with Ken, he was delighted to learn that tickets are going at a brisk pace. And I'm making sure that folks know, because this is something that is a treat. When you see somebody who has the artistry of Ken Navarro playing that guitar in a solo stage setting and completely mesmerizing people because he's playing tunes that you remember, but now you're hearing them in a whole new way. It's a beautiful thing. Again, ramsheadtavern.com has more information. And if you are friends with Ken on Facebook, even if you're not, he's got an events page now. He just let me know that a little while ago. And I'll be doing blurbs many times between now and July the 8th, because I'm going to be there, and we're actually pulling in some friends that we haven't seen for a while
they're going to be coming July the 8th. It's going to be almost like a reunion, so I can't wait for it. Also, you should know, folks that gathered here last week to tell you about the UB Live project via Kickstarter, if you go to kickstarter.com, UB Live, E-U-B-I-E Live, type that in and you'll find out how you can help. This is to go to children who wouldn't ordinarily have the opportunity to take part in jazz education at the UB Blake National Jazz Institute and Cultural Center. It's very cool. And I want to throw a shout out to two folks who need to have mentions. Ann Gore on Facebook, she has become my friend. She sent me a Nuggle Buddy, N-U-G-G-L-E-B-U-D-D-Y. She custom designed this. It's in its own case. It's a zebra print. You know how I love the animal prints. And it's the ultimate moist heat and aromatherapy. Mine is eucalyptus and spearmint. Can I tell you what it has done to rejuvenate me over the past several days? Anne is my new best friend. And also, Tara Walker's Dream. This lady, who is based in another country, I heard about this from my friend Linda Wood. This is a line of skincare that has literally made me lose about 5 years in less than 2 weeks. I can't believe it. I know, I'm talking like a crazy woman. This has been such an exciting day, not only with Daryl, but a couple of really positive things right before the show. Had to share everything. I'll be talking more about Tara and Anne and Ken at Ramshead and UB Live in the days to come. Let's turn our attention to more music. Ravi Coltrane, I am so sorry that I missed him at Bohemian Caverns in D.C. Just about to do. No, actually, he's in it right now, an international tour. He will be at the North Sea Jazz Festival. If you have not seen that lineup, get ready when you go to northseajazz.com. It's surreal, honestly. Ravi has this beautiful song for his aunt Marilyn, and Marilyn's daughter, Tammy. And I wanted to play this for you because this is from the brand new Spirit Fiction CD. A little change of pace for you right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
That lady's name is Veronica Martell. I was just struck. I got this actually a couple of years ago. My friend Dave is so good in sending me some things, compilation discs of people who have really caught his ear. She caught his ear, and she certainly caught mine. Veronica Martell, M-A-R-T-E-L-L. And Dreams, of course, the name of the song, the Fleetwood Mac hit from The Art of Intimacy from 2005. I was so amazed when I did a little research on Veronica. Not only has she been a keen observer and an interpreter of what she's heard in her head all her life as far as the true jazz singers, but also soul singers. She likes Ella. She likes Anita Baker. Her first album was called Big City Swing back in 1999. But the most important thing I can tell you is if her name rings a bell, this woman, beautiful woman, by the way, has cleaned up. she found a niche, she made sure that she filled it. If you go to Veronica Martell Entertainment, you are going to be blown away. She has found a way to take upscale scenarios for weddings, bar mitzvahs, any occasion you can possibly think of, whether it's a smaller piece or a larger full-blown orchestra. I have seen rave after rave review of what she has been able to do. I imagine she is not cheap, but she apparently does all of it, pop, jazz, blues, country, all of it, and she has wedding receptions on their feet to the point where she never is without work. I'm really impressed by what I saw. She's also on Facebook, so now you know a little bit about Veronica Martell. Grant Geisman, he was heard right before World as One from a CD called In with the Out Crowd back in 1998, which is labeled as acid jazz hybrid music. That is true. A guitarist, a composer of rare ability. On guitar, he is awesome. Now, his latest CD is Cool Man Cool back in 2009. He does not have to do albums, can I just say? He is the co-writer of Two and a Half Men that you see on CBS, whether you watch it or not. He has cleaned up with TV shows and with other very creative endeavors that he's done, played with a bunch of session people through the years. Matter of fact, you might best know him as the gentleman who did that captivating solo on Chuck Mangione's Feels So Good back in 1978. That was Grant Geisman. Amazing website, geisman.com. I really would like to have him on the show because his input is so jaw-dropping when you realize what kind of work he's done and who he has worked with. It's going to knock your socks off. Ravi Coltrane, I confess to you, this rarely happens, but I played the wrong track. Instead of From Spirit Fiction, Marilyn and Tammy, I played Phantasm. But that was cool because you heard Ravi and you heard Joe Lovano on that track. Joe Lovano, legendary Joe, produced that track, and I can't say enough about the CD. If you like straight ahead and some interesting little concepts, and here's what I mean by that. You heard Ravi on the show last week. I am just so tickled he dropped on by. Ravi got his band from 15 years ago or so. He played with them all the time, including Jerry Allen on keyboard. And then he got his band that he's worked with for the past 6 years. He got them together in the studio and let them improvise. He's so centered. He's light years ahead of folks, and no surprise, that is John Coltrane. God rest his Philadelphia soul. And mom, God rest her soul, Alice Coltrane. Now, here's why I wanted to play Marilyn and Tammy for you. It's Aunt Marilyn McLeod and Tammy Ellison, her daughter. Marilyn, the name might not ring a bell, but when I tell you that she spent 17 years at Motown and she co-wrote Love Hangover, one of the all-time best songs by Diana Ross or anybody, and she was Alice Coltrane's sister. Does genius run in that family or what? It's just marvelous to know that. But I really wanted to ask Ravi the scenario behind why he wrote that song, Marilyn and Tammy. Maybe we'll get to that on Thursday's show. And by the way, on Thursday's show, Carmen Lundy. Can't wait. Yeah. Let's play some more music. We're going to make up a little bit of a lost time for the fact that the wonderful Daryl Walker spent an extra 25 minutes with us. And thank you to Griselda and BJ and Greg Adams and the wonderful Carolyn for calling in. That was so wonderful. And I see Andrea has joined. Hi, Andrea. Nice to see you. We're going to take our attention to Pharoah Sanders right now. Got a little story behind the song. From 1961. Let's go back, shall we? Astral Traveling on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
every time I turn around.
Love that song. You don't know. This song has become such an anthem for me, and we have a really wonderful chat room today. It's usually the case. No matter how you slice it, it's always a wonderful chat room if anybody shows up and makes themselves visible while the show is on the air. But when the Chestnut Brothers are played with that song, Traveling On from the P-Suite, oh, my gosh. And Beach just said, Beach, who was with us when Daryl Walker was our guest a little while ago,
Beej said that she heard that song at a time when she really needed to hear it, and it made the difference. And me too. Those are the Chestnut Brothers, and I believe in my soul that this is Al Chestnut. Hello, Al.
Hey, Trish.
How are you? Thanks for calling. You're such an obedient soul. I told you to call, and you called.
Well, I mean, how could I not? You're supporting me, so the least I could do, you know, is call in.
Well,
always a pleasure to speak with you, sweetie.
It's always a pleasure to know, Al, that you're there. How is Ty, by the way?
He's doing well. He's doing
well.
I was just blessed to spend some time, you know, with he and Mom's. Matter of fact, a month I went up for Mother's Day and stayed up. And
good.
Had a private party gig, and he sat in with me, and it was just great. You know?
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Ty and Al Chestnut are the Chestnut Brothers, and my God, if you go to the website, thechestnutbrothers.com, you will see they have played with everybody from Luther to Grover, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, born in Columbia, South Carolina, but spent a lot of time in Philly, and every time I hear a track, honestly, Al, I still feel the same. It's like here in my hometown. It just speaks to me, and I thank you for that.
Thanks, Trish.
Amazing. Amazing. So what you got cooking for the summer? Anything?
There are some things on the near horizon. You know, my son is taking over a brand-new club in Atlanta, which is going to be launched. And hopefully we're getting out to Austin, Texas soon. And a plethora of things that are in the works. You know, I like to err on the side of caution and not say too much too soon until some things have been solidified.
I agree. You are right to do that. Very, very wise. So here's my question to you. Are you working on that follow-up song for Barack Obama's reelection?
Yeah, we're certainly spinning our wheels.
Cool.
We have things that are in the – matter of fact, I just got off the phone with a brother a couple of hours ago who had just left the studio, and he and I have reconnected. So
wonderful.
There's a very realistic possibility. In the meantime, we got some people down in Montgomery, Alabama, that just went totally nuts over the people. And,
great.
So there's a strong possibility that we'll be connecting that one, you know, with the campaign again as well.
Wonderful. Well, cool. Hey, if you want any additional lyrics or some encouragement from a passionate pit bull, you know where to find me.
You're so sweet. I want to thank listeners who have, you know, expressed their appreciation for, you know, our music as well. It's very satisfying to know that the music is still touching people.
Oh, my God. Al, really, it is. And we've just scratched the surface. There's going to be more tracks that I play than traveling on, but I really wanted to do it in that set with who we just heard because it just seemed to speak. And there'll be a lot more because you have some very, how shall we say this, sensual tracks on a few of your CDs that I need to play for the summertime.
Feel free to be our guests to do so, you know, beyond our social consciousness. You know, we are human, and we like to get down just like everybody else.
Lord have mercy, did you ever on these songs?
Thank you. Really appreciate your fortress.
Oh, Al, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll certainly be in touch, and keep me apprised of the situation with the people, okay?
I certainly will. Thanks again, Trish. Have a great
Thank
day,
you.
And, you know, like to your listeners as well. All right?
God bless you. Thank you so much. I know that you mean that from the bottom of your heart.
And I hope that things are still, you know, progressing with T as well.
They are. Al, he made the Dean's List, and life is good. His summer is awesome, and it will get even more so. So thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, Trish. Take care now.
You too. Thank you. Same to you. That is Al Chestnut. ChestnutBrothers.com is where you need to go to find out and purchase their music because it is just awesome. Now, I promised Allison, my petunia, in the Baltimore area, that we would champion her cause. And I'll have Allison explain it to you. Hey, this is cool. Where are you? Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to get you on. Wait a minute. I sort of have you on, but you're hold on.
Okay.
I just heard that. Oh, there you are. Allison.
Hi.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, so weird. Oh, to hear myself on both ends.
Okay. Yeah. And
yes.
And you don't have
Thank
your...
Thank you for having me, Miss Hennessy.
Well, you know what? It's good to be had.
Oh. Hi, listen. Everybody. Al. Boy, Al's amazing. Wow. I was listening because I could hear him like up close when I called because I was on hold. Amazing.
Oh, look, that music. You will treasure what you hear of the Chestnut Brothers. It is old school soul to the max.
Oh, I know. While we were talking, you know, I looked up that website. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I know. Well, you got a big thing, and time is of the essence. What's your deadline to be the annual Bootsy Girl?
July 8th. That's the last day. So the contest is a month long. For those of you that don't know about the Bootsy Girls, it's actually a little foundation, like a group started by Peppermint Patty, which is Bootsy's wife, and it's about raising the self-esteem of women through art and music, like no matter how small and, you know, and how old. It's just about, you know, raising the self-esteem, lifting it through music and art, and I thought it was beautiful. And they actually picked me, Tama and Guitar Sally, out in L.A., and they picked me, actually, and entered me in the contest. And the contest is about stars with no name do shine. It's an inner beauty contest. I was
fabulous.
Absolutely flattered. Yeah.
Wow.
And you can vote up to 5 times a day, per day, per computer. And the website to vote on is www.adpoll.com/bootsygirl/poll/bootsygirl, and I am girl number 11, for those that do not know.
Okay, so is there a general website where you can go and find out the information? Like, is there one www. Without the backslash?
The actual video is is on YouTube. It's the Bootsy Girl Start with No Name Shine 2 Inner Beauty Contest. And they have the video of all the different contestants, and that's
cool.
On YouTube, actually. You can probably just look up Bootsy Girl, Stars with No Name, Shine Too. I have links for everything. And then underneath that video, actually, it'll say Vote Here. And underneath is the link to where you can vote, which is the link that I also mentioned about the ad poll as well.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I am lady number 11, Bootsy Girl number 11.
And how many times can we get to vote during a given day?
You can vote 5 times a day per computer. So you can, honestly, I vote for myself. I do. And it only takes about 2 minutes, and Griselda's been voting, Yolanda voted, everybody's been voting for me. It's wonderful. It takes, honestly, maybe about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of your time to lock in 5 quick votes.
Wonderful. Okay. That will be done, and I'll make sure that we keep having the link, because the link was on my page for a while, but it got lost in the shuffle. So I'll relink it, and we'll keep pushing it till July the 8th.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mama Bear.
Of course. My daughter, my Petunia. Of course. We have to help. And I don't know
Great
if T's been doing it or not. But
chat room.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Oh, my God. It's on fire today. Yeah. Well, T will be voting too.
Oh, give him a big hug for me. Please, please, please tell him I'm very, very proud of him.
I will do that. That will mean a lot coming from his sister.
I love him.
I know you do.
Well, you got a show to do.
All right,
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Hi, everybody. I'm sending out big hugs and kisses.
All right, yeah, she gave us a big group hug the other day on Facebook. So we want more of them. We'll keep voting. Just keep hugging.
Okay, thank you so much. All
right. All right, bye. Oh, Allison, yes, do the Google search because, you know, you'll find it a couple of different ways when you find out Bootsy Girl, B-O-O-T-S-Y, and the campaign. I'll have it on my Facebook, that's for sure. I'll find the link from Allison. There's a couple of different links. But, you know, it's the same thing with the Kickstarter situation for UB Live. You go to Kickstarter.com and you type in the search. So it's a little bit like that, but find the YouTube video and that won't be a hassle at all. You'll just do it via Bootsy Girls contest. You'll find it that way. I just want to tell you that you heard Alan Tye, the Chestnut Brothers, traveling on from Peace Suite, S-U-I-T-E. We also heard from Dwight Sills. I'm sorry, I had to play him again because Sliver Moon, and I, like a dummy, called it Silver Moon the other day, from Easy, I had to play it again. It is In My Soul, one of the great guitarists that we've had on the show for sure, and somebody who's got so much in the works. I am tickled about this project with Terry Lynn Carrington. That is really good news. We'll keep you posted. Pharoah Sanders, woohoo, from Themby, 1971. Themby was Pharoah's wife, and Astral Traveling is what we heard. Pharoah on this CD plays the bellophone and the cowhorn along with sax. He's got Michael White on violin and percussion. He's got Cecil McBee on bass, Clifford Jarvis on drums. Two tracks were recorded in New York City, but most of it was in California. And here's the thing. Lonnie Liston Smith, who lives in Virginia now, was on the CD. It was the first time that Lonnie played the Fender Rhodes electric piano. Here's the scenario. Lonnie and the rest of the guys were setting up. They came into the room, and Pharoah's taking his sax out, and Cecil is doing his thing with bass, and they look in the corner of the room, and here is this Fender Rhodes. Now, this is 1970-71. So Lonnie said, whoa, what's that? Going back now. So the engineer says it's a Fender Rhodes electric piano. And Lonnie starts tooling around on it, and Pharoah comes running over and says, What's going on? This is wild. And Lonnie said, yeah, this is what it is. It's a Fender Rhodes. And he was plunking out this tune, or a beginning of a tune. And Pharoah said, what do you call that? And Lonnie said, because he had just been studying astral projection, he said, I call it astral traveling. And that's how the song was born. I just love that stuff. So there you go, a little story from back in the 70s. We got a couple more tunes that we can do. Let's do them, shall we? Oh, my God, what a lively day we've had. This is our beloved Amy Shook on upright bass. She has a quartet and a half. Oh, my God, if you get a chance to see Amy ever playing that upright bass, she's like this Amazonian goddess with her little librarian glasses on and her hair either down or pulled back. This is from something really cool, just a couple of years old, and I wanted you to hear this track from So Far From Home. It's a song called Live and Learn on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Brought to you today by Ram's Head, starring Ken Navarro on July the 8th. RamsHeadTavern.com has more information. Go for it.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. it just amazing to realize that yesterday was 3 years since Michael has been gone? Michael Jackson, with a favorite, no matter how you slice it, by a lot of folks. I mean, we could be here for the next hour talking about all the song titles that he had ever done, and it's just hard to believe that was from 1982, too. My gosh, Thriller. Human Nature. Whew. But honestly, that song, there's something so appealing about that song. And proof is in the pudding, because you know that if Miles Davis is going to do a remake of a song, it has to get deep inside of him. And man, did it ever. And when you think about the people that you have heard who have redone that song, it doesn't even matter in this case that artists should have left the song alone. That song is so personal for so many of us that we just have to play it, or have to perform it, or have to put a new spin on it, because that's how much it's inside of us. Woo! Michael Jackson, Human Nature. Just love that song. Thought it would be an interesting way to close the show. Had to do something special. We heard from Schiltz. His brand new CD, oh, please pick up All Grown Up. It's just really special. He's so happy about it. He was on Cool Jazz Conversations last night with Joy and me, and he's just like a little kid bubbling over with excitement, and he has every right to be, because it's not your standard, I'm not going to say the S word, contemporary jazz album. There is some funk and soul and meat and potatoes. He's got some appetizers in there, got a little dessert for you, got some beverages on the side. It's just really wonderful, and that song just hit me right between the eyes. Anytime that an artist of that kind of merit writes a song about his wife, it's going to translate with love. Dear Juliet from Schiltz, All Grown Up. And we heard, too, the Washington, D.C.-based Wonder Quartet, the Shook Russo Quartet. And that's Amy on bass and Pat Shook on sax and Frank on drums, and Bob was in there, and Greg Gisbert on trumpet and flugelhorn. So Far From Home, the name of the CD, and Live and Learn, the name of the track. Just so you know, if you are in the area, that Amy will accompany Rhonda Robinson at the Holy Comforter Church tomorrow night. They're going to have jazz vespers. Isn't that wild? It's been going so successfully that they're continuing to do that, which is a wonderful thing. Whew, so has this show been. God bless everybody who joined in today. We had Al Chestnut and Allison and Beach and Yolanda, and Andrea Adams joined us for a while, and Griselda, and some folks got to be on the radio. And we thank Ram's Head for sponsoring the show. Ken Navarro will be at Ram's Head in Annapolis on July the 8th. We're getting together a big reunion and packing that house. We'll have more as the days progress. Don't forget, on Thursday, Carmen Lundy will be the special guest, and she'll be talking about her brand new CD. Lots of exciting things are happening. I'm telling you what, thank you again to Daryl Walker. He was the star of the show today, wasn't he? Woohoo! Thanks to Greg Adams for calling in, too. That was quite a nice surprise. And Carolyn and everybody. Oh, my gosh. What a fabulous day. God bless you all. And we'll talk to you on Thursday. Be safe in the meantime. And 1 o'clock, we'll roll around before you know it. 2 days.